Sounds nice. Before. It's your turn.
All right, it's 5:34 and we're calling the meeting to order. Roll call.
Okay, Member Wax. Absent. Member Suter.
Here.
Member Stitch.
Here.
Member Raymond.
Here.
Member Markley.
Here.
Member Levinsky. Absent. Member Banks. Absent. And Vice Chair Cohen.
Here.
And Chair Olson.
Here.
Corn.
All right. Next item on our agenda is public comment. For items not listed on the agenda, if you have public comments on an agenda item, there will be a public comment time today. So this is for anyone commenting on something that's not on the agenda, members in the room, or online speaker cards. If you do have something you want to say, not on the agenda, please raise your hand and we can get what you have to say.
No speaker cards.
Okay, if there's no non-agenda item public comments, we will move on to the approval of the May 4th, 2026 regular meeting action minutes.
Move to approve. 12 seconds.
Calling roll, Member Wax, absent. Member Suter.
Aye. Aye.
Member Stitch.
Aye.
Member Raymond.
Aye.
Member Markley.
Aye.
Member Lazinski, absent. Member Banks, absent. Vice Chair Cohen.
Aye.
And Chair Olson.
Aye.
Motion passed.
Next item on the agenda would be action items if we had any. So we're going to move to our first information item, to the Sutter Hospital Project Review.
Good evening, committee members. I'm Muriel Desai. I'm a city staffer. My position is planning manager. It's been a while since I've come to this committee. I typically come here to present private development proposals. Just a little bit about me. I've been in the city for 20 plus years through various other positions of senior planner and principal planner, and I've been the planning manager for the past few years. So I will be the project manager and the project planner for the Sutter Hospital. Since it's been a while where a private development proposal has come before the committee, I just wanted to briefly go through our little process. This way you can have the first slide on. So essentially, and you can have the second slide on as well. So essentially what happens is that when a project comes in, it goes through a certain review process. There are two permits that this proposal will need down the road. One is what's called a plan unit development amendment and a general plan amendment. These are the two permits. The final decision makers for both the permits is the Planning Commission, which makes a recommendation to the City Council, and City Council are the final decision makers. Before it goes to the Planning Commission or the City Council, there is a review process where it goes through multiple committees. And the first committee that it's coming to is this one, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. The other committees that it'll be going to is on the screen in front of you. So this is going to be a busy month for myself and for the applicant. As you can see, after the review process here, it goes to the Commission on Aging, followed by Parks and Recreation Committee. Then there will be a study session at the Planning Commission, followed by the City Council. Anybody, including the committee members, are free to come at any of these meetings to provide comment. And this includes, obviously, the public at large. But the committee members are also invited to attend all or any of these meetings as you so wish. So going back now to the PUD process, it is kind of a long process that happens. The shaded area, on the top of the screen are steps that have been done already, so they are faded out. The one in orange is where we are in the process. So two things happen simultaneously. One is what's called the CEQA process. CEQA stands for California Environmental Quality Act. All projects of a certain size have to go through the CEQA process. This will be going through what would result in publication of EIR. I think most of you are familiar with that document. So that is one process that occurs in parallel with the review. So on one hand, on the right-hand side, you can see that we are in the committee review step, and it will go through the study session. And the CEQA process has already sort of begun. The city staff does not do the work on EIR. We hire a consultant because it's a lot more in-depth review that typically consultants are hired. So they are hired by the city, and we have hired Urban Planning Partners. One of their reps are here in case we have any question from the consultant. And then they produce the document in parallel. So as you can see, after the study session, after the Planning Commission study session and the council study session, typically the studies, there are two rounds of that. So you might see us coming back to this committee as well, depending on if there are changes to the project. So once all the review occurs, then that feeds into the CEQA document or the EIR document. And then that goes through the process. Ultimately, there will be a scoping meeting in August. And the scoping meeting is essentially for anyone, including the public and any committee members, if they think of more questions to ask. But essentially what they are asking is, what are the key issues that this EIR document needs to analyze? So that's an open question for the public and to ask. And that will be done in August. So that's what's the public scoping meeting. Then they go away and they start working on the EIR document. It then gets published. We are looking at the publication of what's called the draft EIR at the end of this year. And that then goes through what's called a public comment review, and that's 45 days. By law, we are required, can be extended, but typically it's 45 days. So we are pretty very, very early, as you can see, in the process. I'm going to stop here for the moment. Is there any questions you have of me on the process? If not, then I'm going to hand it over to the applicant. They will present the project to you, and there will be, once they finish the presentation, then you can have, there'll be a Q&A. So with that, I'm going to ask Sam Tamiri. He is the designer. Of this project, and
yeah, thanks. Good to see everyone here in the community and the committee. Thank you for having us here tonight to share some early thoughts. as Marie was talking about, we're just in the beginning, so we are looking for feedback. Patricia's going to go through some specific ideas or things that we've encountered with the site, with the building land where it is. But I want to give just a quick overview. So the first thing I had to do is. All right, perfect. So you're familiar with the area. The light blue Emory Yards is where we have some existing buildings that Sutter has.
If you don't speak into the microphone.
Oh, I can't hear you. Okay, I'm going to stay over here. Okay. All right, so the light blue is the area where some existing buildings at the Emory Yards, there's the Chiron building, there's the 555 Hollis building. Those are going to be outpatient buildings for Sutter. And then the dark blue in the center is where the new hospital is going to go.
Can you use the mic, please?
Is it not loud enough? Is that better?
It's good.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so and then the other light blue on the top left is an existing parking structure, so that of course stays, and then just to the right of that is going to be a shuttle stop that's going to be incorporated into the campus design. So it's going to be a new health center for the hospital, and that just gives you kind of a quick overview of the plan. And just to give you kind of an overview of what's in the new hospital, it is going to be a 15-story building. So roughly 785,000 square feet. It has 325 beds, which consist of medical surgical, patient rooms. It has labor and delivery, NICU. There's going to be an emergency department at the ground floor, of course, along with some ambulance entry, as well as loading dock. And we are looking at some sustainability issues for this hospital, in particular, an all-electric, and then looking at some very cutting-edge medical equipment to give best possible care. This is a diagram of how the building stacks up. It's not the design of the building, but it's really just to give you an idea of how the building stacks up 15 floors. As I mentioned before, the ground floor, the pink, is the main entry lobby, as along with the ambulance and emergency department. And then above that is dining and kitchen. Then we have above that is going to be the surgery floor where that takes place. We'll have a mechanical floor to be the robust surgical floor. And then we'll have labor and delivery. And then the dark blue is the intensive care units. And then above that is another mechanical floor. And then above that are the patient rooms above that, that gets you to the 15 floors. So this image is just kind of overlooking the Emory Yards, the two buildings. The orange one, of course, is Chiron, and the one to the right is 555 Hollis. Just to the other side of Chiron building is where the site is. And then as you see the parking structure off to the left, just to get you oriented. And as Miru said, we're just in the beginning stages. Trisha is going to walk you through several ideas and thoughts that we've already started to think about on the site, given the amount of circulation, whether it be bicycles, pedestrians, and vehicular. So she's going to go through those and share that with you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Trisha Dudala with Hexagon Transportation Consultants. And today I will be sharing with you the traffic circulation associated with the proposed project. Before I get into the traffic circulation aspects of the project, I would like to reemphasize that the project is in a very initial stage, and the circulation constraints, the circulation constraints and the recommendations that I'm going to be presenting today are based upon an initial traffic feasibility study that was conducted by the traffic consultant on the project's team. And separately, the city is conducting extensive traffic analysis to identify or to evaluate the impacts on pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular circulation around the project site. And that is independent of the traffic analysis or the traffic circulation constraints and recommendations that will be discussed today. And as the project advances to the entitlement process, the project team will coordinate with the city on the improvements that will be identified in the traffic study to implement them to reduce the overall circulation or traffic impacts caused by the proposed project. So the project site is located within a half a mile of the Emeryville Amtrak station. It's also located half a mile west of San Pablo Avenue corridor, where there are several AC transit bus lines operate. And the project is located 2 to 3 miles from the West Oakland bus station and the MacArthur bus station. The project will operate dedicated shuttles between the health center and the transit stations, and will implement a TDM plan, a travel demand management plan, to encourage alternative transportation modes by both employees and patients and visitors to the campus. However, given the nature of the proposed use being a hospital and a medical office use, most of the employees and patients and visitors are expected to drive. All of the on-site parking for the health center is going to be accommodated within the Horton Street parking garage, which has approximately 2,000 parking spaces. And the traffic feasibility study was conducted for the full build-out of the proposed health center. And the feasibility analysis identified roadway constraints surrounding the project site that would limit vehicular circulation to the health center. And we'll look at the circulation constraints in the next slide. The first one is the existing diverter that is located at the intersection of Horton Street and 53rd Street. The traffic diverter restricts through vehicular traffic on Horton Street to the north of 53rd Street. As a result of this traffic diverter, the traffic that's coming, that would come to the health center from the north of the campus via the interstate I-80 and 580 and to the west of Powell Street would need to access the health center via the Hollis and Powell Street intersection and then navigate through the 53rd Street and Horton Street intersection to access the health center and the parking garage. Next slide, please. So in order to improve So in order to improve the traffic circulation to the health center and between the health center and the Horton Street parking garage, the feasibility analysis recommends removal of the traffic diverter to basically allow traffic, northbound and southbound traffic on Horton Street through the 53rd Street intersection. Traffic signal modification would be required at this intersection to accommodate the through traffic on Horton Street and also to basically allow safe navigation for pedestrians and bicycles through this intersection. The other constraint is Chiron Way that is located to the east of Horton Street between Stanford Avenue and 53rd Street. It is currently a narrow two-lane roadway, and the project is proposing the drop-off areas to the medical office buildings that would be located on Chiron Way. And also access to the hospital emergency would be provided along Chiron Way, in addition to access to the ambulances to the hospital and service vehicles to the medical office buildings would access Chiron Way. Next slide. In order to improve traffic circulation, the project is proposing to convert Chiron Way into a one-way street in the southbound direction. This will provide better maneuverability for the service trucks that would be accessing the loading docks for the medical office buildings. And better operations would be achieved in the drop-off areas for the hospital emergency and also the Hollis Medical Office Building drop-off area, as traffic would be able to enter and exit easily without having any conflicting traffic in the northbound direction. The project acknowledges that Horton Street serves as a primary bicycle route that connects, that travels through the city of Emeryville. And by removing the traffic diverter, the project would add traffic to the segment of Horton Street to the north of 53rd Street. The picture here is shows a picture of Horton Street and Stanford Avenue intersection. So since the project will be adding traffic to this intersection, the project will coordinate with the city through the entitlement process to upgrade this intersection to implement multimodal improvements to accommodate pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular traffic. This intersection was also identified as an intersection of grade. The public identified barriers near Horton Street in the city's active transportation plan. This picture shows the segment of Horton Street to the north of 53rd Street. There are protected bike lanes on both sides of Horton Street, but since the project will be adding traffic to the segment, the project will coordinate with the city on the potential improvements that can be implemented to mitigate impacts to the bicycle travel along the segment. This is a picture of Horton Street, south of 45th Street, looking south. This segment of Horton Street between 40th and 45th Street is a designated bicycle boulevard where the bicycles share the roadway with the vehicular traffic. Since the project will be adding traffic to this segment of Horton Street, the project will coordinate with the city through the project entitlement process on improvements to mitigate impacts to bicycle and pedestrian travel. This slide shows the bicycle circulation around the project site around in the campus. As you can see, there are protected bicycle lanes on Horton Street between 45th and 53rd Street, which are at the sidewalk level, and also along 53rd Street between Horton Street and Hollis Street. The project will maintain the current bicycle network. However, the project would install two new curb cuts along 53rd Street to provide access to the hospital's main entrance drop-off area. And also a new curb cut would be required along Horton Street to provide access to the shuttles. The project will coordinate on the design of these driveways with the city to reduce conflicts between pedestrians, bicycles, and vehicles. And then the project will also be providing both short-term and long-term parking within the Horton Street parking garage, the shuttle plaza, and the medical office buildings to accommodate employees and visitors and patients that would want to bike to the health center. Next slide. This slide shows the pedestrian circulation around the campus. As you can see, the project will provide continuous pedestrian access between the Horton Street parking garage, the shuttle plaza, the hospital, and the medical office buildings. New sidewalk would be constructed along the hospital frontage on Chiron Way, and the project will install a new crosswalk across Chiron Way in order to connect the new crosswalk along, in order to connect the new sidewalk along the hospital frontage on the west side of Chiron Way to the existing sidewalk on the east side of Chiron Way so that a continuous pedestrian facility is provided across Chiron Way between Stanford and 53rd Street. Next slide, please. This slide shows the shuttle circulation. The project, as I mentioned before, will operate dedicated shuttle service between the health center, the BART stations, the Emeryville Amtrak station, some of the major bus stops that will be identified based on conversations with the city, and off-site parking locations. So the primary shuttle routes would be along Hollis Street and Horton Street to the shuttle plaza on the campus. And this slide shows the public visitor and employee vehicular circulation. Public visitors and employees would be able to access the health center via Hollis Street, Horton Street, 53rd Street, and Stanford Avenue and Palatine Street. This slide shows the circulation for the ambulances. All of the ambulances would access the hospital via the private street, which is Chiron Way. The primary access route would be on Hollis Street and Palladue Street, with secondary access provided on Horton and 53rd Street. This slide shows circulation for the service vehicles. The loading dock for the hospital, as you can see, is provided, will be provided on the backside of the hospital, and trucks would be able to access the hospital loading dock via the existing driveway on Horton Street. So trucks would be able to make a left turn into the site and then make a right turn out of the site without having to back into the site. And trucks to the medical office buildings would access the loading areas via Chiron Way. And primary truck access would be provided, the access route would be via Hollis Street and Palatine Street. And this brings us to the end of our presentation, and we'd be happy to take your questions and listen to your comments. Thank you.
Okay. And just for everyone in the room, the normal process of how we do questions and comments. First, members of the commission ask clarifying questions, and then we have 2 minutes per speaker for the public for questions and comments. All right. Hopefully some of the questions that we asked might answer some of the questions that might have online. And we'll start. So we have lots of questions.
Eric, I'm going to single you out. Let's start.
I can go. Sorry, unless you wanted to go, Eric.
Yeah.
How many daily trips do you expect to the campus?
Daily trips?
Yeah.
Around 20,000 trips. Approximately
20,000. How big of an increase is that from what vehicles are currently doing in that area?
Right now, there's hardly anything going on in that area. The existing medical office building, the existing office buildings on Chiron Way are vacant. They are occupied by, they are certain properties, but you know that they generate very minimal traffic. And the hospital site is a vacant site, so it really doesn't generate any traffic. So yes, right now there's not much traffic that's being generated by the project site.
Just to clarify, do you have a count of pedestrians, cyclists, and cars?
We don't have a daily count, but we do have like for the peak hours. So the peak hours, I would say about in terms of bicyclists, it's about around 50 to 60 or less than 50, I would say, bicyclists. And traffic volume at the Horton Street and 53rd Street intersection.
idea there for like pedestrian protection?
We don't have any of the design details yet. Again, as I said, the project is in a very initial stage.
Excuse me, Trisha, can you please go near the mic? People online can't quite hear.
Sorry. So we don't have the design details for any of the intersection improvements yet. As the project advances through the entitlement process, the project team will work with the city to identify potential improvements that can be implemented safely accommodate pedestrians, bicycles, and vehicular traffic through that intersection.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really important intersection that probably needs like a lot of scrutiny, because it seems like there's going to be a lot of vehicles that come off of Stanford and Horton and Hollis, all sort of coming there. But then there's also a bunch of pedestrians that are and bicycles that are coming from that bridge and that greenway that connects there. So I don't just throwing that out there. But
thank you. Like, yes.
Keep that conversation going.
I have one question. Why do cars coming from the northbound need to travel on Horton Street?
So there are some, so there are going to be some physicians and some employees that would park in the Horton Street parking garage. So opening up the Horton Street, they can use like Pelladue to Stanford to Horton to directly access the parking garage, instead of going to Powell and Hollis and 53rd Street to access the Horton Street parking garage. So it would, opening of the Horton Street traffic diverter would help like spread the traffic a little bit. That's the main reason.
You're suggesting that they shouldn't go around Hollis Street to 53rd to the parking garage.
Yeah, if they do that, the analysis shows a lot of congestion on 53rd, Hollis, and Powell Street. So, and long, really long vehicular queues. Yeah.
How much reduction does opening the Horton Street diverter provide from this use?
We haven't quantified. I don't have that that reduction, but that's something that we provide at a later point.
Did the city give any reason as to why that diverter was there in the first place?
Yes, the traffic diverter was there, was put in place because Horton Street provides, it serves as a primary bicycle route through the city of Emeryville, the north-south bicycle route. And in order to reduce vehicular traffic on Horton Street and provide safety to bicyclists at Horton Street, the traffic diverter was installed.
Yeah, I think that's probably because of the intersection at Horton and Stanford. Seems like all the vehicles are going to be routed in that direction, which
most of the vehicles probably would take like Pelladue Street and then right onto Stanford and left onto Horton in order to access the Horton Street parking garage.
Yeah.
So you'll be spreading out the traffic around the project site.
Yeah. For similar projects, or I guess similar sites or campuses, or what is the, or in terms of this specific site, what do you expect the impact or magnitude of, like, for example, the shuttles to provide, like, as a point of reference of your 20,000 trips per day, what percent do you expect to be served by shuttles, for example, like how Alta Bates and other local hospitals, what are their?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, given the nature of the proposed use being a hospital and medical office building, most of the trips to the campus are going to be by a personal vehicle, especially by patients and visitors. The shuttle, based on the surveys conducted at the Alta Bates Oakland campus, the usage of the shuttle, I would say, like alternative transportation mode is like 20%. Of employees use alternative transportation modes. So So about 20% of the employees, this is excluding the physicians. The physicians are all expected to drive and park at the Horton Street parking garage. So the non-physician employees, 20% of the non-physician employees are expected to use alternative transportation modes.
We've gotten far enough in the planning process to know how often these shuttles are running and how does it compare to other hospitals in the area?
Yeah, these shuttles, there's already existing shuttle service that operates between the Emory Yards campus and the Alta Bates Berkeley campus. That shuttle, I believe, runs once every 15 minutes or 20 minutes. So for this project, there's also going to be like parking deficit. Not all parking is going to be able to be accommodated on site. So the project will be providing off-site parking locations for employees. And the shuttles will be running from the Amtrak station, the bus stations, the off-site parking facilities, and also some of the primary bus stop locations along San Pablo Avenue corridor and other locations that will be identified based on coordination with the city. So the expected frequency of the shuttles is probably like one shuttle every 10 minutes.
How many employees would be going to these sites on a daily basis?
Yeah, on a daily basis, I believe it's about close to 3,000 employees for the health campus, which includes the 325-bed hospital and the 3 medical office buildings.
Any other questions?
In general, I think there are certain slides that you kind of highlighted, and I understand that this is in the initial phases of planning, so not necessarily asking for specifics, but like as you're conducting these studies, what types of tools do you feel like you have to reduce the traffic effects from the perspective of maintaining circulation, of course, just primary objective, but also this body is very interested in maintaining high safety standards on primary bike routes and walking routes along Horton Street, portions of Stanford, things like that, the intersections that have already been discussed. What tools do you feel like you have available?
So in terms of like potential mitigation measures?
Exactly.
So again, in terms of vehicular traffic, again, the traffic signals along Hollis Street, they would be retimed, to see if, it would provide any, better circulation of vehicular traffic. And for the other intersections, some of the improvements that the project will be looking at in coordination with the city is at the driveways at intersections, to see if they can be raised in sections and if the curb turn radius could be tighter and if the pedestrian or the bicycle path can be brought closer to the crosswalk in order to improve the visibility of bicyclists to vehicular traffic that's turning onto these intersections. At the driveways to look at the potential or the feasibility of maintaining a continuous raised bike lane along 53rd and Horton Street across the driveways, and then painting those the bicycle lanes across the driveways. So those are some of the potential mitigations or improvements that the project will be coordinating with the city.
No other questions. We can open it up for public comment and questions. Jeff, or maybe anyone else, should we have members come up to the podium?
Yeah, I think that would be preferred.
Okay.
I have a timer here, Tim.
Okay, so everyone's going to get 2 minutes. I think there's going to be a lot of people who have questions and comments. We might want to form a queue, either formal or informal. And I saw you raise your hand first, so you can go. But if you want to line up in the front here.
This is just questions, right? And then we'll have it just the comment and hear the feedback comments. Is that correct?
We're going to be very short on time. I think we're just going to give people 2 minutes for
questions and comments.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the room, and we have a lot of things to get through.
And there are future opportunities as
well. Yeah, this is just the first phase. So, you want
to begin? Can you introduce myself?
Sure, yeah, you can say your name.
I'm Gillian Belcher. I live at 5100 A Drive, both since 1991. And one of the things, there's a few things that are really glaring, but one of the things that has not been mentioned is I'm curious about if Sutter has had discussions with the ME School District, because 53rd Street is a bicycle boulevard. And I lived there since 1991, and I have watched what's happened in 53rd Street, where it meets San Pablo, and sometimes Hall Street is intensely impactful, so to the point that they have guards there to help people cross the street. In terms of bicycles, I've seen the Sutter buses go down the middle, rattle the middle line of 53rd Street all the way down, and I just don't get it. So I just want to comment on that and wonder if there's been any interface between the school district and Sutter. Thank you.
I'm Fran Quichella. I serve on 2 committees in the city. One is budget advisory and the other is economic development. And I live in Emeryville and I have a bunch of questions. I will suggest the next time you do the meeting to sit in council seat so you all have mics, if that's possible, so we can hear. Okay. So these are my questions, and thank you very much. I'd like to, and they're for different people in the room. I'd like to know the time that has been spent on this project coordinating between Sutter and Mohammed Alawi's group, if that is just starting now or if this has gone on for a year or two. I'd like you to look at Hollis Street because the bike lanes have been removed. There are drought-resistant plants taking space on the roadway. There are bus bulb outs that when there is a traffic on the street just comes to a dead halt. So when you're talking about 10,000 times the amount of traffic, I just wonder what magic you're going to perform in the area so that this can happen. I have a suggestion, which is a patient parking garage and a shuttle from patient parking garage so that people don't bring their cars here. Someone in labor or someone getting chemo is going to want to drive here, but someone with a medical appointment may find it very useful to have a parking garage. And also want to think about the construction phase of the project when there are a lot of trucks here. I've seen trucks really struggle on Hollis and Powell right now, and I'd like to know for the construction phase what traffic mitigation you're planning. Thank you for coming, and I a lot.
Thank you. I'm Laura McKinney, and I was on the VPAC for about 15 years until last year. Or this year, I don't know. I left sometimes. I left last year, I think. And I have more questions and comments than I'm going to be able to get into 2 minutes, but let me see what I can do. I want to start by saying I think the siting of this project of this magnitude on a bicycle boulevard shows an incredible disregard for the will of the community, and it makes me worried about the relationship this applicant is going to have with the community over time if they are so disregarding. We worked for so many years to build up that Horton Street Bicycle Boulevard, and this project looks like it's going to significantly degrade that. I want to know if you factored into your traffic calculations the traffic that gets diverted when a highway gets backed up. Without a diverter, that Horton Street wave drives people to Horton Street and becomes completely blocked with traffic. And if you factor that into your traffic considerations, I feel like you might have mentioned bike parking briefly, but I didn't catch it, so I would love to hear more about that. I would love to know if the Let's Open shuttles are planning to drive on Horton Street to get there. And if you consider the traffic impacts throughout the city, I think other people have addressed, people have addressed that, because the car is not going to materialize in that circulation zone. And what if it isn't feasible to continue the raised, you know, sidewalk level bike lanes across curb cuts, do the bike lanes just lose out then? I want to say I feel like the 2,000 person garage, which I know the city, the 2,000 car garage the city couldn't stop, was a bait and switch. That was a crazy garage. And I'm wondering now if the property owner built that for the project, even though this project was not known to the public. I feel like the bike lane improvements that you're talking about, you really studied, you know what cars are going to come, but it's like, oh, we'll do something for bikes. That makes me very uncomfortable. It feels like bikes are an afterthought in this plan. Thanks.
And just one point of order too. If there's anyone in the room who wants to cede time to someone else, you can do that. You can get in line and say, I want to cede my time to some person. If you don't have anything to say, but if others who do have things, more things they want to say, that's okay.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jeff Pontus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for presenting. Appreciate this opportunity to speak. I live on 53rd, so like two blocks from three blocks from the site. So, and I have kids in Emeryville School District. So I echo the sentiments on schooling. I'm very concerned about the corridor between San Pablo and the hospital and how that's impacted by the changes. Because I'm sure there would also be vehicle traffic from San Pablo to down 53rd to the site. And there's already a lot of traffic at that intersection during school hours. So I would encourage, I don't know if you've looked into that, but expanding, you know, the lens that you're focusing on to include those intersections around the school as well. So I think that you know, is definitely going to be impacted. The other thing that I'm concerned about is the scale. Like, I think that one of the things that complicates this is the size of the building. That directly contributes to the volume of vehicles that are going to be coming through. So I know that's probably not germane to this committee, but, you know, the impact on vehicle traffic is. So just that's one concern. And then the other concern is, or the other thought is, like, what's the alternative? This, like, north-south corridor, right, is, I think, vital for bicyclists. And what is the alternative pathway? It doesn't look like there is one if this is impacted in a major way by the development. And then I guess one last thought is, like, there is a lot of pedestrian traffic, bike traffic from right through this corridor to Bay Street, right, because of the new pedestrian bridge that's there. So I see that, like, this is like the nexus of a lot of different changes that could potentially be happening. So I just encourage, you know, the consideration of all these different dynamics. I think you're all working through this, but just wanted to voice those things. Just...
Hello, my name is Baruch Colton. I have a few questions. I was wondering about the parking space, if you've done a study to analyze how many parking spaces you anticipate that you'll need each day for all the employees coming in and the patients, and if 2,000 is adequate. And also, have you considered ways to mitigate patient parking outside of the area, which would really have an impact on the neighborhoods, just right on the neighborhoods? I know people don't like to park in parking garages, even if they find the space in the street, they'll take. Then I was wondering about the routes. The route of the shuttle, it has been going down 53rd Street, but has that changed been made now so that it's not going down 53rd Street between Hollis and San Pablo? Because we're still seeing shuttles on 53rd Street. Okay. That was one thing. And then just sort of ways that you could mitigate, even though you're thinking about not using 53rd Street between Hollis and San Pablo, public doesn't know about that.
Yeah.
And so what can be done so that people, 53rd Street is going to be the primary access route to get down there. And like people didn't say, there's a lot of children there. People are getting in and out of preschools. So that would be really important. And then the last question is, at the public hearing that I went to a few weeks ago, it said that there were 17 floors and now it's 15. So I was wondering if it's changed.
Can I answer or no?
Sure.
So it has not changed. It is 17 stories if you count the penthouse, the mechanical, and the helideck, but there's 15 floors of occupied space.
Okay. All right, thank you. It'd be nice to hear the answers to these questions.
Yeah, and just to the point of where you guys can respond to everything after we're going to do all the public comment.
Hello, my name is Angela Gino. I am the president of the Golden Gate Community Association, which is the organization that supports open residents on the open side of the border. And I'm here because, as we've heard from other speakers, that 53rd Street corridor is a huge concern of ours. We've worked with the open residents on the open side of that street between San Pablo and the Emeryville border for years. It is very tense there on a day-to-day basis. The Emeryville school drop-off and pickup is often very, very scary. The kids are running all over the street. The parents park their cars in people's driveways and leave them there while they take their kids onto campus. The street's extremely narrow. And there's been a lot of discussion between the Oakland side and the Emeryville School District, and it just doesn't get resolved. So this is a huge problem now. And so I noticed that the maps always, are pretty, tightly focused on that particular area, but I'd like to see it zoomed out. The other part is that, as somebody else mentioned, 53rd Street's a corridor that goes all the way up to Mount Martin Luther King. So with traffic coming from 580, Martin Luther King coming down, the GPS says pay 53rd. It goes all the way through. That street is much, much more narrow than even the one on the other side of San Pablo. So how is that, being factored in? Because, drivers who are anxious to get to the hospital are going to come down 53rd. So I just wanted to bring this up. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Kathy Leonard. I'm on the board of the Golden Gate Community Association, which Angela Gennino just referred to. And so we've been incorporated for over 30 years, and we do a lot of work in the Golden Gate neighborhood. So are the comments being captured? Are we recording?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm really concerned about the lack of transparency that happened at the other meeting. And so we're hoping that in the future, there will be a lot of transparency because we were really kind of disgusted at that meeting. And you said there's going to be 3,000 employees. That's a lot of people. And as Angela said, 53rd Street has been trying. Now, I live on the Santa Fe side of 53rd Street, which is from Martin Luther King to Lowell Street. It's a very narrow street. I just can't imagine the traffic that is going to be on that street. One example is I live on a residential street, a narrow residential street, and traffic is supposed to go on our two arterial streets in my neighborhood, which is Stanford and 55th Street. But Google and Waze have directed everyone to come up my narrow street. So now my street, which was perfect, is full of potholes. The Google buses are coming down that street. And so I'm worried about the impact not only on the Oakland side of the Santa Fe neighborhood, but the Golden Gate neighborhood as well. Also, you mentioned that the vehicle barrier was installed for safety reasons for bicyclists and pedestrians. So now you're going to remove it? So where's the safety concern for the residents who have been living here either all their life or are residents now? I mean, I just don't understand that. Also, there's been no mention of the impacts on 40th Street, which is an arterial street, which is a wide street, which is crowded now during commute hours, all during the day. It's a heavily impacted street. So what are we going to do about the traffic there? And I also, I'm worried about the amount of traffic of parking slots. Thank you very much.
These are for you guys. I didn't know how many copies to make, so maybe you can share them.
They'll go into more detail. So my name is Jen Lee, and I've been a resident in the very close vicinity since the early 90s, just like the first speaker. So I just want to bring what you meant to also include, which I include in the presentation there. Look, I'm happy to give you the presentation also, which has screenshots and stuff. But there is a preschool on 53rd, and we have similar drop-off and pick-up times there. And at the other end of the block, on San Pablo, we have the coagulation with the Annie Yates School, with the pick-up and drop-off for parents. So these are vulnerable situations here, right? And a lot of people that live in our complex, which is right across from the preschool, are older adults, another vulnerable set of populations. So I just want you to be aware of where the vulnerable populations are in the area, which is very close to this situation. Just so you know, on 53rd, if you haven't looked at it, we have two speed bumps and a turnaround, and we're just one little block. So what does that mean? That's asking for traffic to slow down intentionally because there's vulnerable populations on the road. I just think you guys, you know, we want you to be aware, and maybe if you're not already, and maybe we can look at mitigation that may, I encourage everybody to look at what happened with Alta Base and the Bateman Neighborhood Association. It's online. They have a literal legal agreement with the neighborhood associations and Alta Base in terms of expanding their footprint. If you look at how many streets have been blocked off around the hospital, many streets have been blocked off, just so you know.
Hello again, I'm Robert Prince, advocacy director with Bike East Bay, also Emeryville resident, former BPAC member. It was good to see you again. I was at the first meeting last month at the hospital site. At that meeting, I offered, you know, an opportunity for Bike East Bay and staff to sit down and workshops and stuff to talk through the issues. I hope to do that, some of that before this meeting and help orient some of the discussion, but I'm still open to it, and I hope we get a chance to set that up. There's been a lot of talk about Horton Street here. But this site is actually surrounded by bike boulevards, which I think is a great thing. If we lean into it, we could make this the bikiest hospital ever. But there's Horton Street, which is super important, but also bring your attention to Stanford, 45th and 53rd Street are all bike boulevards. I want to set a goal for staff against project and for city staff to try to maintain NACTO thresholds for all of these facilities. And so that means both with regards to vehicle volumes and vehicle speeds. If the bike boulevards can't be achieved for whatever reason, then that means that you need to upgrade those facilities in order to, you know, provide something that does fall within those NACTO thresholds for vehicle volumes and speeds. The way I see it, I think people are getting a little bit frustrated and anxious when you lead the conversation talking about what diverters you want to remove. I think there is a definite need for additional diverters in this neighborhood, and I'd like to see that folded into the conversation more. When you're discussing, you know, those mitigations, you need to talk about what you're getting, not just what you're taking. And so I really encourage that in the future. But as I see it, there's going to be a definite need for additional diverters. The original plan for the Horton one was actually further north, just north of Stanford. So if we could, you know, if that diverter gets taken away, there's opportunity to actually make that intersection better and still have it work for people and meet those NACTO thresholds as well. So looking forward to the future conversations, looking forward to hearing your comments as well, and look forward to together.
Hey everyone, my name is Kai Zhang, and I live at Emery Bay Village. It's a residential complex that's about one block over to the Sutter Hall project, with about 100 condos across 40 buildings, and we're located right directly next to the Shaw Development Center, as well as the Emory High School. So as part of the environmental impact report process scoping, I would like to ensure that we're laying the groundwork for as thorough that study as possible with the traffic locations as part of the locations that you'll be analyzing for the scope. At three transportation related requests that I'd like the community to consider as part of the review process. First, I'd like to request that all of the school's access points, as well as NNBA Village's access points, be accounted for in the study locations for the traffic analysis. Some of the access points may not be immediately evident unless you're a resident, or student, or Golden Gate, or a parent driving and stopping by. And we're happy to be a resource to you if there are any questions. For NNBA Village, we have multiple entrances and exits, so speed bumps, cars come in and out. And it's immediately located near the stop control intersections. So it will be important to include in the traffic analysis, especially as you know, the alternate shuttle from the Berkeley campus continue to come up San Pablo through 53rd, through to Horton, to Emory Gardens. So in the shuttle plan that we have here, I'm not clear if it excludes that part or if it's all going to be part of Paramount and Horton, like you described. And then second, I'd like to request that the Spur Alley corridor be included in the study location. It's right next to Emory Bay Village, and it's probably the closest side street to Hollis for Sutter Health. A lot of businesses there. It stretches over multiple blocks from 45th to Stanford Avenue. It's the kids' gymnasium, private parking, a lot of bikers, a lot of pedestrians parking throughout day. So I think it will be important to consider as you analyze the impact. Thank you.
Anyone in the room who already spoke and has more things they want to say, and then if there's someone who hasn't spoken and would like to see their time, raise your hand if you're in the first bucket. More things you want to say. Okay, we have two people. Are there two people in the room who haven't spoken? Three people. Are there three people in the room who haven't spoken who would like to see their time? If so, please come on up. Yep. Please come on up. You can just say, my name is blank. I'd like to see my time too. And Laura, you can go first if you'd like. Brandon, and I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry.
Kathleen.
My name is Dominic. I'd like to see my time too. Laura.
Hi, my name is Laura.
I just wanted to add a couple things about bike travel through this area. One is that Horton Street is not just an amenity for Emeryville residents. It is a freeway that people use coming from down from Berkeley and Richmond, up from Oakland. I was at Bike to Work Day. I was at the bike station there. Jesse was there. And there were people traveling from all over. There was a bike train of children going through that area. So I'm concerned about that. And also, I want to say that for years, the city, when in this committee, we've been like, can we get bike lanes on Hollis Street? And the city has said, no, you've got Horton Street. But if this development happens, I'm worried that we won't have Horton Street. That Hollis Street development that just recently, the reconfiguration of Hollis Street, did nothing to help bikes. And in fact, it arguably made it with the ball bouts that don't have a bike cut through, made it worse for bikes. So that is not an alternative for bikes. And Pablo bike lanes are God knows how many years away because of funding issues. So this is a very crucial corridor, not just for Emory residents, but it's a connection, and Emeryville is known as a very bike-friendly place. I feel like also the fact that the town study showed queuing in the area means that it is too tight a space for a project of this size. I would have no problem if it was just medical buildings. That seems to be a fine use in the area, but I'm worried about how the one. I would also like to know that traffic study and how many cars, what are the hours of that? Are we talking all night long? What's the traffic volume overnight? And how many helicopters a day do you expect coming in? What kind of stuff do you expect going on in the neighborhood? Okay, thank you.
We have a second person who'd like to see their turn. Anyone have a photo?
Yeah.
My name's Bahram, and I'd like to see my time.
Kathy Leonard.
To
Just briefly again, I just want to say that we are a nonprofit. We've been a nonprofit for 30 years. That's the Golden Gate Community Association. And we look forward to working with the hospital and Bicycle Pedestrian Commission because we represent the 53rd Street residents on the Oakland side, and we will be organizing our neighbors. And so I think it's crucial that you bring us to the table and have conversations with us. So thank you very much.
Any one other person who would like to see their time?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Another thing that I'm thinking about. I really want to hear from Sutter a lot more vocabulary involving the people who live here, meaning the people who buy here, who walk here, the residents, the children who go to school. I haven't heard that enough in this presentation. I think it's alarming to the community. The other thing I would like to see is a public meeting between Ryan and Mohammed and Sutter, so that we have a better feeling for everything that's happening in the city. We don't have a lot of streets here. It's a square mile city. And to take this one little area and just turn it topsy-turvy, I think the public, the people in this room, and the people in the city really need to know what is happening well in advance of when it happens. Thank you.
Last call, public comment, anyone else in the room? Are there any speaker cards on this topic?
No speaker
cards. Would you like some time just to respond to some of the things that have been said?
Thank you all for your comments and your concerns regarding traffic circulation around the project site. Like I said, I would just reemphasize that the project is in a very initial stage. And what we did is a feasibility study that looked at vehicular circulation in the immediate vicinity of the project site. The city is conducting a comprehensive traffic analysis that includes a larger area, which goes much beyond the project site to quantify the impacts of the proposed project on the existing roadway network and on pedestrian and bicycle travel. And the project will coordinate with the city on any of the improvements that will be identified in the traffic study to mitigate the traffic impacts. And through the enactment process, like we did hear a lot of concern from residents on like 53rd Street. So through the entitlement process and through the traffic study, the potential for additional traffic calming measures or traffic diverters would be evaluated. Similarly, there was like a concern about with the opening up the Horton Street traffic diverter, there could be some additional traffic from the freeway that would divert onto Horton Street. So through the traffic study that the city is preparing, because since the city is preparing a traffic study that includes a broader area, all of these concerns would be addressed in the city's traffic study. There was also a question about like the parking. The parking is not going to be adequate on site for the health center and for the health center. So some of the parking deficit would be accommodated in at least two off-site parking locations, one in Berkeley and one in Oakland. That's what the project is considering. And the project will provide shuttle service between these off-site parking locations and the health center. Yes, regarding any other like specific improvements, we don't have the solutions yet, but the project through the entitlement process will coordinate with the city on the improvements that will be identified in the city's traffic analysis. Thank you.
So with that, now we kind of go around and get member comments. Did anyone want to start first? Yeah.
I initially heard when it was stated that the city was going to be doing this analysis of traffic, because I see the potential of the traffic chaos that will occur. And so I was wondering, now that I've heard it a second time, that I should probably ask, when is the city expecting to get a result of that study?
I can answer that. We're expecting the EIR, which would include the transportation analysis, at the end of the year.
If you have any other comments, we can come back to yourself.
Yeah.
First of all, I really appreciated 53rd and Golden Gate for showing up and providing your perspectives. I don't live in that neighborhood, so it was really enlightening to hear what you had to say, especially from folks who are dropping kids off at school, because you guys really are the eyes and ears of what's going on in that community and on that street right now. Overall, I think that there's a lot of things that need to be fleshed out with this plan. I'm not really hearing how pedestrians and bicycles are going to be accommodated with this particular plan. It just overall makes me very nervous, and I hope that you will take into consideration all the feedback that you've heard today.
I want to go last or near last. So does anyone else want to hop in now?
Yeah, I can hop in. Yeah, I think to echo what everyone else has said, it sounds like from MLK, San Pablo, to this project on 53rd Street needs to be very well thought out in terms of pedestrian, bike, as well as vehicles that are crossing into this area. So just keep echoing what everyone else has been saying. I'm also very concerned about the Horton and Stanford intersection, because that's like, I use that intersection a lot when I'm going from like that, the bridge to where the Greenway actually connects. Also concerned about removing the vehicular barrier after what we're calling it at 53rd and Horton. I like the idea of adding raised bicycle lanes on either side, connecting that from 53rd to Stanford. But yeah, again, I think the biggest concern was, and I'll voice it again, is the 53rd Street. So yeah, continue looking at that and focusing it on the street.
Thank you for bringing this today. It's definitely been really helpful to see all of this. I think a larger view would be really helpful. This project is huge. It's going to affect an area much, much larger than this, and some more quantitative numbers that you're suggesting that you're going to increase the number of trips in the area by 15 to 20x and remove the barrier that was just put in to prevent Horton Street from becoming a throughway. So like, if it was already deemed important enough to put that barrier in and you're going to make it 20 times more busy, it seems like a non-starter for a lot of people in this room. I really encourage you to put another barrier back in at the Horton Stanford intersection, and then possibly after the parking garage, to prevent this from becoming a three-way from 40th Street to Powell. More quantitative numbers and alternative ways of like only using 53rd as access and leaving the current barrier. The quantitative differences between the proposed solution and the one that is deemed non-feasible currently. Thank you very much, Shirley.
Well, just thanking everybody for their comments. This has been really interesting to hear. We're saying it's, you know, clearly potentially going to provide a huge impact to transportation in this area, as well as to the skyline, it sounds like it. I think it would be good to see some more concrete proposals of how travel would be accommodated, And maybe also how for the staff that are arriving every day, how they there might be efforts to encourage them to travel in different ways at a higher level than they already are, possibly even live here. I look forward to future meetings.
First of all, thanks for your presentation and thanks for the questions and thanks to the community for coming in for the thankful comments and questions. Let's see. I have a lot of concerns about this. When I first heard about the project coming as a hospital, sounded very exciting. I think it's a great economic opportunity for the city, for the region. But I do worry about the types of accommodations that are being planned for folks that are traveling in some way other than a personal motor vehicle. Specifically, I'd like for folks working on the project to think about the current experience of someone traveling through this project area in any mode of transit, but especially vulnerable folks on bike or on foot, and envision what that experience is likely to be like once this is complete. And I hope that those, besides there being more people traveling around, that this is not a substantially more negative experience. I really appreciate hearing from folks in the community that live, especially more vulnerable people like seniors and people with families with small children, and how this might impact that area. And again, I echo the sentiment to encourage more thought around that aspect of it. I'm not fully convinced that even removing the traffic diverter would be enough to accommodate this much traffic, vehicular traffic as expected. And so things like encouraging alternative modes of transportation seem critical. And in light of that, I would recommend thinking about broader use of traffic diverters and other mitigations for vehicular traffic around the area, whether it's moving them, installing in different areas, and working with city staff to think about future opportunities for more bicycle infrastructure in this area to mitigate this development.
All right, I just want to say thanks for presenting. Thank you everyone else for attending. I think this is the most well-attended PPAC I've been at in the past 3 years. They're the first Monday of every month. We'd love to see you all. But we can talk about big things, and this is a very big item, but there's lots of other things that are going on behind the scenes that make big differences, and we'd love to get your feedback and views. I'm just going to say this project feels like a very large foot going into a very small shoe. And I don't think the foot or the shoe is going to be very happy with that arrangement. It seems like there isn't a backup plan if all of these conditions aren't met. And I wonder about that, if there is more thought going into that. I want to echo everyone else's comments about the impact of traffic in the whole area. We were two months ago talking about the Powell-Christie loop, and we were getting into all sorts of simulations about how very small changes here and there would create backups in different places. And that's just for existing traffic in an area. And this is adding, like everyone's saying, way more traffic every day, all the time, maybe not all the time. But we would want to know specific numbers and how those things would impact different areas, because that would help us understand people who live in the area, the people who commute in the area, what this is going to do. It would help them figure out how they can interact with this project. I just want to say at the very end, thanks for this start, but I hope to see some more progress with this.
I also wanted to thank the committee and also the public for coming out. We definitely are interested in working with you. It's not something we want to just continue without your input. This is just the first beginning of it, and we look forward to continuing the working relationship. So thanks again.
All Great, and I think that concludes our first information item. Stick around, there's way more fun things to talk about, and you're already here, including item 6.2, Active Transportation Plan Annual Report, Part 2. We're going to discuss the goals of what we want for the city of Emeryville, and we want this to be a collaborative discussion, so please don't run away. Seriously, don't run away.
You have to bite.
Will the sergeant please close the door?
And then pull up the presentation. Okay. Hello, everybody. Good evening, attending members of the public. Last meeting, I came and presented on the annual report for our active transportation plan. Hearing for part two, because we ran out of time to discuss the goals and the maps were not planning properly, by which I mean at all, and the presentation. So I've opened up this presentation with the maps, and so we can look at that kind of jog on memory, and then from there, we can go and have our discussion. Okay. So that's what I just talked about. So we have four maps in our actual transportation plan, and we're just going to be briefly looking at each of those. So major projects one, the highlights from that from 2025 calendar year are the loop initial analysis being completed, 40th Street and Shellmount final design for the environmental phase nearly completed and fully funded. And then Palace Street study substantially completed and construction of modifications for Hall itself. So here's what that looks like on the map. And the yellow code is for what's underway for studies. The blue is coded for what work is going on in progress that you can't necessarily see, right? You're developing a project, but you're past the study phase. And then the green is for what's either built or in progress. So you can see something on the ground with that. And then for the pedestrian improvements, you're going to be noticing things, but a lot of this is overlap because it's different ways of looking at our entire network. So for the pedestrian improvements map, well, Powell Street is substantially completed and the Hall South of Power. The two things that really show up on that map, what's in the kind of a light pink purple color are things that were done prior to 2025 as part of the plan. So each year you'll see the purple expand a little bit, hopefully, right? And the other stuff that's still being worked on and progress will show up in the other area colors. And then for the bikeways, the Doyle Street, 52nd to 59th, finishing the study of the design of that. And then 40th Street, Shellmount again, highlight. And then Adeline, between 41st Street and South, improvements for that have been planned and designed in 2025. And then for Powell Street, substantial planning work completing a 10% design. So that you'll see that this map kind of looks like a merger of the last few maps and then more of the pink purple showing up, particularly in the northern part of the city. Now, remind everybody, this is only the second year into our ATP. And if you see all of the color on the map for year two, it's looking rather substantial, in my opinion. And then just for spot improvements, to highlight that something that was talked about a lot in the impact was this intersection here of Powell and Hollis, the southwest corner, and having that slip lane converted into a plaza and having the slip lane removed. I did show this picture last time, but I wanted to highlight it. It's a little bit harder on this map because it's spots to really see the changes. But where we're looking at that is to. So moving on from that, we have our six goals in the plan. And how we talk about this in the ATP is they're all qualitative, right? So we have to have a discussion about it. I can't really give you statistics on these things. Comfortable, connected, joyful, equitable, sustainable, and implementable. So up on the screen right now are things that you said last year. So for comfortable, that amazing progress was done, that we're doing things right and moving in the right direction, and particularly looking at Horton Street and looking for more progress for bikes and less for pedestrians. So trying to increase the pedestrian improvements.
for a connection, that we have great facilities, the bridge, the greenway, Doyle Street. We're connecting people to places and big projects versus intersection projects, getting a little bit more, at least over clear attention, and maybe how could we look at intersections more in the future. For Joyful, this is my favorite quote from last year, Joyful is up. Clean, pride, social, relationships, maintenance, happy, those were words that were all used in your discussion last year. For Equitable, that connection is equity, and we're working on connection. Wayfinding will help. We're working on wayfinding, and free and merry-go-round is equitable. For Sustainable, how to measure. I've got that a little bit. We included some of these things this year. The bike workday counts, the pet bike counters. We're not looking at our community survey yet. It's going to be years in. And looking at things like bike share members and parking spaces and how just general use of different types of facilities is being used. And then for Implementable, that the ATP has improved interdepartmental communication and other cities looked at your example samples from the DPAC last year. So this is very small writing on the screen, but what I did is I put next to these goals what we extract, like what it says in the ATP to describe each of those goals. So we have this reference right here. I can read that loud as needed for your discussion. But basically, the idea is that you have discussion about this, and I take the notes just like I did from last year, just like I read to you, and then I include that in the presentation report as it moves through the chain. So this ATP annual report starts here at BPAC. It will go to the Transportation Sustainability Subcommittee of the City Council, the Planning Commission, and City Council of Planning Commission. So your comments are how we measure our progress on these six goals. So if you have any questions, of course, I'm available for that. And that's basically your discussion about it.
Yeah, to clarify the questions, I think a lot of us were participating in this last year. Is that correct? You know, everyone. Did anyone have questions?
Is there a chance you could show us in the work, the planning on the Powell Street in the Marina Parkway, the planned bike routes, how it's going to go within the park?
For the public works.
You don't have that?
This is the report on
okay.
Our active transportation plan.
Well, yeah, it's part of the active. You were saying it was in process. You showed this, I think, 2 years ago, or in one other presentation, the plan, and so I was just wondering if that is still in place or if it's been adjusted at all.
Yeah, all the first
okay.
Yeah, happy to take that. So the planned bikeway is essentially parallel to the street at the moment. Starts from Front Street and all the rest of the terminus.
Well, there was a plan to create a shared route where there's only a sidewalk now. And so then it's split about past the coffee company and in front of, I mean, the bike route then split off from the sidewalk. I just want to verify that that is still the plan.
Yeah, just like what we had presented a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the plan.
Okay. There are no other clarifying questions. We can hear public comments. We might also, I think we can do like more Q&A.
Such a question for the active transportation plan. To what degree does the Cyber Hall developments impact the active transportation plan since it was just recently adopted? When this happened, this wasn't part of the plan. And to what degree is the 53rd Street corridor reflected, or should there be adjustments or metrics or goals, priorities adjusted to reflect the developments?
I apologize that I didn't catch the first part of your question. So,
to what degree the active transportation plan was adopted a couple of years ago, right? And it's kind of work in progress. Metrics are to be developed, prioritize as things happen. To what degree will this better health happenings reflect or impact the active transportation plan as you think about the metrics and the goals and things?
Yeah, I want to make sure that I answer that question holistically.
Well, because on 53rd Street,
yes,
it's not really highlighted in a way, right?
So this shows at the time of adoption, which is 2023, like the vision for those places. So 53rd Street is on here, this dotted green, right, for class one shared use with bicycles. It's not a project specific document, right? So as the Sutter project unfolds, there might be things that are not in the plan that are proposed to adjust to those dynamics, right? We're not beholden to what's just in the plan. If somebody proposes something that's not in the plan, this plan doesn't say what you can't do, okay? It's saying a vision of what we understand city is moving forward at the time of the information we have. Does that help answer? Am I getting the right gist of?
I'm just wondering if it, as with the impact of grace and discusses on this, are we reflecting of what's going to be in the next year or two with that also?
If I heard you correctly, you asked if the plan reflects what's going to be happening with the Sutter health. No, in that this isn't plan specific, right? So when we're looking at the traffic reports that will come out and see the documents that come out, we'll have more information about how to respond to that specific project. Yes, in that this shows the vision of the community and the direction the community has as a guiding document moving forward. Project one planner want to add to that in any way?
Yeah, just to add, the way it works is that this is a document that the city has adopted before the Sutter project came in. Like other adopted development documents, a project needs to comply with the adopted documents. Where it doesn't, that would be highlighted, and that is something that the decision makers need to consider as to, oh, this is not in compliance with this particular metric. Can it be mitigated? The answer would be yes or no. If the answer is no, then the council members have to say, okay, we understand that, but we are still moving forward. That can be a possible scenario. Does that help?
Yes.
Any other members who want to comment, questions?
It's brief. Just briefly, I did integrate the active transportation plan, if that was called, in the presentation, just to acknowledge that. Yeah. And then also Vision Zero is also integrated.
Yes. All right, if there's no other public comment, we can move to member comments.
I actually have another question, Navar, and that is, you said that the pedestrian study for Powell had been completed. Did you not?
Yes.
Okay. Could you tell us the results?
That is not my purview. Again, I will defer to you totally. So, you know, this is kind of a funny thing, right? We have plans developed in planning division, of course, interdepartmental coordination, but the implementation of not all, but much of the plan, the totality of the plan, is largely through the public works. Right. So that's why I'm not able to directly answer all of your questions about it and defer to public works, because they're the ones assigned to those specific projects. So I just want to make it clear, not that I'm like not in the know, but I don't want to speak for somebody else's project. Right.
Can you tell me who to ask?
They're right here. They're all right here.
With regards to the Powell Street study, we plan on bringing it to council for a study session as the next step. So whatever you all have seen as a preliminary step, Transportation Committee saw it, and then the next step will be council itself. That's where it is in the process. But that being said, we haven't changed anything that you've already seen.
Okay, so now I think what we did last year was kind of think about these goals, think about some examples of how we were meeting them or not meeting them. That's sort of the feedback. Yeah. I can kind of start off with one small example, implementable, which is that traffic diverter on Horton. There was lots of feedback about how the curb is painted, and that was taken care of, I think, in a pretty timely manner. So in that sense, that was some very small aspect of the plan that was implementable. Now the question of, is it sustainable? That is TBD, right? As we know, there's a lot of talk of changes in that area. I certainly had a lot of joy participating in the annual Bikes Forever Day. I was at Stanford and Horton, the big intersection that we were just talking about. This is the second year that, 40 small children descended upon us in a flock of critical mass. It was quite a joyful event. I had a great time. I guess we can talk about other aspects of these goals that people might want to highlight.
I guess I speak to comfortable and implementable with the new speed limit study and how many speed limits in the city of Emeryville are going to be lowered. It's going to make biking way more comfortable, being around cars more comfortable than not by you. It's very exciting. In regards to equitable, again, comfortable. The Hollis Street redesign with the bus bump outs makes getting on and off the bus in that street much, much more enjoyable.
For comfortable, the closure of the slip lane at Island Hollis, but kind of fits in with joyful with new public art. That's very exciting, but I'll keep it as comfortable for folks that are congregating that area outside of Island Bar, but navigating
an intersection more generally, it's not positive. It also allows for further connection between the Greenway and Jean Park in that entire, it's not perfect. We don't have our cross city corner intersection thing yet, but it's one step closer. It's all taken.
In regards to sustainable, we have the chat about the sweeper for the bike lanes, and I've noticed the bike lanes have been maintained here and well maintained, so both joyful and sustainable.
Kind of a meta comment on sustainable. That was a pilot. I know you presented on it. How has that been going? Has it been going well? Lots of challenges. The bike lane sweeper. How's it just generally? Quick.
Our maintenance crews give us positive feedback of functionality, and I think it's a right size fit for the amount of protected bike lane that we have. But I think when we expand out our network, those are fingers crossed that may reach its limitation. We'll get there when we get there.
Thanks.
I feel the fast fix on the Christie Powell made me joyful, and I feel it's equitable for the bicycle and pedestrian side of the equation versus the vehicular. And so I think we have a better equity there. I think that the loop conversion, I'm still hesitant to say sustainable, but it's because it has its ramifications and unintended consequences. But like usual, it's worked out nicely by dealing with that kind of issue. But right now, I'm holding my breath.
What I heard of the Bike to Wherever Day, people were very joyful and excited about the 40th Street improvement that's coming soon, and that's going to help connect the folks that are on that side of the community to the Bay Trail and also the loop that is going in there in the future, which will also make me joyful.
The bumps on 65th, 66th, and 67th, I think, bring a lot of joy and comfortability with the north end of the Greenway and keep things well connected.
Just to clarify, we're talking about 2025. I feel like some of the things that we're discussing are 2026 items.
Good point.
I just want to make sure, like, I was thinking of those two. I don't know if it's helpful for staff to talk about those, but I just want to make sure we're. We should be ready for next year.
Yeah. We just take all 2026 comments and throw them.
Oh, save them for next year.
So I will say, in terms of timing, the goal is to have this to you before by toward it next year. It should be coming to you hopefully in March next year. So it'll be a little bit closer. That doesn't work out with timing of various things this year. So the discussion point in future years should be a little bit closer to the end of the previous calendar cycle. So I will take your comments in context. But I'm pretty sure if you were able to participate in my tour day 2025, it seems to me that I'm not sure specifically if 40 kids from the same place. I think they did. It's your second or third year going.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the comments are actually pretty consistent. And I think it's good to actually note when we're thinking about this, what has changed over time or what is maybe the same over time, but feels different, right? Like, because we're talking about things qualitatively, right? So I'm hearing a lot of positive comments, which is good. I'm not seeking negative. But I do want to make sure as we're going through, kind of bouncing around, I think everybody has mentioned everything at least once, which is good. And what I'm also hearing is a lot of overlap, that when people get more connection, they are feeling more joy, such as the 40th Street comment, right? Like, the people are excited, they're, about equitable access to transit, easier access, which is also a comfort thing. So I just want to note the intersectionality between these things also, and just kind of highlight that in your conversation so far as I'm moving forward.
One other thing that came to my mind for sustainable, I know we're talking about Bike to Work Day, that was, you know, it was this last year, but one thing I learned from the Oakland BPAC meeting is that WOBO, Walk by Oakland, Bike Oakland, Bike East Bay, people who are organizing that for Oakland are going to adopt treasure hunts, passport thing that Emeryville did, has been doing for multiple years, but it was such a success that it's catching on in other areas. That's a big positive there. So, I mean, I know this is maybe out of turn, but are there comments and members of the public wanted to talk about with regards to these goals and their experiences? We don't get a lot of public participation in other aspects of insider help. So it'd be great to hear feedback from people who use.
I'm just going to share my anecdotal observations, and you can decide if it's helpful or not. So I live in Amber Bay Village, and so I don't own a car and I walk. So I do daily 3-mile walks from Amber Bay Village, so that's in San Pablo, all the way to the Marina. So it's a 3-mile walk. So along the way, I've observed the hall of construction, the quicker that the trackers that you have on the bridge, and the how to see from them. So just as a pedestrian, it's interesting to observe the walkability, extreme walkability from the school area through Sutter Health, through the bridge, which I think is so important as one of the only key exit points to connect through the railway. Otherwise, I would have to go through south or north. You can't go through the overpass at all. That connects through the intersection, right? So I just think it's very walkable. I would have input on the Marina path. It's kind of a hot. It's their constraints between pedestrians and bikers, and I'm personally not sure if
But that's why people just don't know if you shouldn't be on the bikers can be on the road as pedestrians is so narrow. So I don't know if I'm the one who's doing noise and reason or if actually we can do that. It is very, very narrow between the pathway for bikers and dog walkers or yet yeah, wheelchairs. I've seen how constrained it can be. And then the wildlife, which kind of like blowing it out, it's a kind of a hot mess constraint on that particular path. I don't know, it's helpful. But, I enjoy that block.
Thank you.
This is really empowering, I want to say, being with you all. So, you know, and having a voice in our community. So, I really love all these goals, and I love that Emeryville is so small that we can really do something positive with it, which, I mean, I did an analysis that's, 1.7 square miles and, like, over 100 parks or something like that. It's really a testament to our sustainability. So I will say I live in the area, right? So I go to that mall, that whatever, that where Trader Joe's is. Bay Park, whatever, plaza, whatever, it's so crowded. It's hard to park in a car. How is that going to be, you know, I mean, this is just what we have right now, let alone impact of probably, you know, 5,000 visitors a day with the Sutter Project. So I'm just looking at these goals, which I think are beautiful, and how are those going to be impacted in all the other areas of Emeryville? Because, of course, people are just going to say, well, we have to go to the doctor, so we're going to go to the store. Well, we go to the doctor. Yeah, okay. So, hey, thanks for understanding, for looking at these things. I love the holistic picture, so I really appreciate it. Thanks for all your work.
I'll just say the same thing I've been saying for the last 5 years. Hi. Welcome. Nice to see everybody. I've been riding my bike a lot in Spur Alley and Weechin Park lately, and it is joyful. Well, Spur Alley, but Weechin Park is such a beautiful new amenity. I was out there this morning, and it's just so gorgeous. So I think the city has done amazing things, like things I wouldn't even have expected, to make it more joyful. I think, you know, there's just been a lot of wonderful improvements. And the one thing, I walk a lot as well, and the one thing that I would say is, and I know it's because we have this weird patchwork of who's responsible for sidewalks, but sidewalks, people ought to be desired. So that's one area that I would love to see VPAC look into, like how can we come up with a citywide policy that would take a more holistic approach to your sidewalk, you know, painting and width and incursion by plants and all that stuff. So, thanks.
I'll just reiterate for everyone in public who is feeling empowered and wants to share their things. We meet every month. Agenda is available. My first Monday every month. Agenda is available online on the Friday before. And we would love to have you come. We would love to hear from you, because otherwise, it's just us and our experiences, and we don't represent everyone. We want to have people who are having a discussion be as representative as possible. We want to hear about all your experiences, so we do value the best. We want the best. And this is a very small place. It is a place where you can get up there in front of us or other people and talk about this, and then see the progress. Maybe it'll be a year, maybe it'll be 2 years, but you can actually see the impact of what you've said. So I just want to say, yeah, once again, thank you for being here, and I hope to see you at a future.
Well, make a mailing list again. There used to be a VPAC interest list, and I've asked to be on it, and I don't think there is one anymore. So if the city could reinstitute that, if I got the agendas,
then
I would know. I should
come. And we do, the agenda does go out to VPAC members, it would be great if it also went out to
Millions. You just go to the website and you click you want to subscribe to it, and it'll be sent to you every month.
I've tried. I don't think there's a VPAC one right now.
It stopped working. It used to work for me.
I asked, and there used to be a big VPAC interest list, like 70 people on it, and I don't know. I can't. I'm totally off the list since I'm not.
Okay, that's good input because
I asked and I heard that
staff can fix it because the website's been improved where staff can fix it themselves.
But I think that staffing got the answer that, oh yeah, other people have asked for that. I will look into it. But I don't believe
that. Is that still the status?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
So we're gonna.
Okay.
Yeah, there was an update in the website previous iteration, and so thanks for the reminder.
Okay.
Over like a couple months, it'll have an update, or
Hopefully it's before that, but no problems. It's outside of my hand and scope of work, so.
Great.
Just seconds, like for my own agency, our website is built on the same platform, and it's a struggle. Like I understand. Give them time. They're working on it.
To connect it, the new Bay Wheel stations have been empowering the folks that use that system or the folks that only sparingly use that system. My wife got stranded on her e-bike flat near the West Open BART station, and we live very close to one of the new Bay Wheel stations, and she was able to very quickly get home much faster than I would have expected, so that was really helpful. And, basically, connectivity out to the marina allows for more stations out there for people to recreate and live out there. So, great connectivity. I think the Mangroves, I think it was open in 2025.
Just as a point of order, we're a few minutes away from our meeting end. I think we have other important things to discuss. So, we can entertain a motion to extend the meeting by a certain amount of time. I would like to make that motion.
Shouldn't they extend the meeting until
8? Second. Okay. Okay, Member Wax, absent. Zuger.
Aye.
Horstich.
Aye.
Freeman. Mark Banks.
Aye.
Member Lozinski, absent. Member Banks.
Aye.
Member Cohen.
Aye.
Gerolson.
Aye. Okay. Didn't want to cut off a conversation there, but.
I just like to say, Mom, and I particularly have appreciated the improvement in the sidewalk repairs. The Click Fix seems to be working better, and I reported something, and a week later it was fixed. So, I've been activist in this area, and I'm pleased to say I'm smiling. So, thank you very much. Thank your staff too.
We appreciate the appreciation actually a lot. And we actually have a presentation to Transportation Committee regarding our metrics on C-Click Fix.
Oh.
I think either our next meeting or the following one for those who are interested.
Okay. Anyone have any other goals, progress, comments? Other things that you were hoping to get from this conversation that maybe we can provide?
I think this has been fruitful. I appreciate it. I will summarize these in my presentation to the other ones. I just have a student there. And I do want to just, every time we go over the ATP, I want to reiterate that the development of the ATP was a really extensive process, and VPAC was central in that process. And so having your ongoing participation as the ATP unfolds over time and its implementation is critical. So I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for the invitation. I guess we can move on to information item 6.3, the Bike Tour of the Day recap. Violet, maybe Matt online.
Hello everyone, Violet Rice with Environmental Services, and I have a fun Bike Tour Every Day recap for you all. Okay, so just to start out with some stats and some main takeaways, we had over 1,000 folks pass through our system this year, which is really exciting. It's a lot of people for a little city. And we had five stations, so the usual suspects, but the Pembrey High also joined us again, which was a lot of fun. We saw three different bike buses, which was great, just a lot of kids in general, which is lovely. And we had some guest appearances from AC Transit, Cannon Culture Coffee, and St. Foster School, which is great. And we obviously couldn't have done any of this without our lovely volunteers. So a big thank you to all of the city staff that helped out, and a big thank you to all of you. I know many of you were there helping out as well. We had three different outreach posters, notably two new ones, one focused on the Emeryville Loop, and then one focused on the new speed limits. And both did seem quite engaged. So again, just to reiterate, over 1,000 people. As you can see, we did have a little bit of a drop from last year, but not too much of a drop. Over 1,000 is still great. And our most popular stations were Greenway, but also Horton and Stanford. So for just a little shout out to Horton and Stanford, they've seen a dramatic increase in ridership, which is really exciting. They have more than doubled the amount of riders since 2022. So that's great. And here are some fun photos. Someone who filled out their passport. Exciting to hear that the passport idea is taking off, but I think it's a lot of fun. More fun photos and the incredible stickers that the kids at UCCL drew. And more photos and more great stickers. And then a personal favorite and a great message. Okay, and then in terms of improvements, we just identified a couple. The first being more snacks and giveaways. You can never have too many snacks, and you can never have too many free bike-themed giveaways. We ran into some blender challenges again this year. Not at Wharton and Stanford this time, though, at I-Line. Yeah, so we will sort that out. We will have no blender issues in 2027. We also probably could have done more outreach pre-event. Our shoreline cleanup is quite close to Bike Tour every day, and we had hosted a larger shoreline cleanup we have in years, so it was a bit of a flash. But that being said, more outreach is always great, as well as opportunity for coordination with Stanford Health, as well as local businesses. And our ultimate goal is to do the whole event by bike only, no trucks, no cars involved. So a huge thank you to everybody that let us keep tents and tables and bike blenders and all kinds of fun stuff at your house beforehand, because that was a huge help. But eventually, hopefully, we can do it all by bike. All right. And for the sake of time, if anyone has feedback or ideas, we always want to hear them. We can also have a little discussion depending on how folks are feeling. But send us an email, give us a call anytime. We want to know what you think and what you have planned in your mind for Bike Tour Every Day 2027.
As an additional comment, on kind of piggybacking on your comment on the passport idea, I just wanted to give a shout out to the originator of the idea, Amanda Anderson, your previous secretary, and also for Violet for all the work she has done in developing the idea even further. Thank you.
Huge kudos to them for coming up with that idea. Great idea. Thank you, Matt. All I have for all of you. So you can throw out some, you know, what did you like, what maybe you didn't like about Bike Tour Every Day? Or again, send an email, give us a call, whatever you guys are feeling.
Real quick, clarifying questions. Public comment? Like sure to recap. Maybe if you participate in. Yeah. okay. And member comments? Start.
I guess I will start. I was at the 40th in San Pablo. It's just like with the 40th Street it might get better, but it was like a really challenging intersection for people to get to. Don't know how we can make that better, but just wanted to comment on that. And then I think just directing people to where they should go next. Give the volunteers a, like, hey, let's direct people in this, like, here, go here, or whatever. That'd be helpful.
To piggyback on that, I was at Stanford Important, and one of the things that I think we ended up kind of being in the middle of the circuit for me to kind of direct people on routes that would take them to the other ones. And it was almost like a little bit of a tour of our infrastructure, which is really cool. People kind of discovered new routes. And then speaking more generally, we made all the smoothies and had no extra materials of any kind. Is like the document frozen. I pat myself on the back there. Everything looked the right ratios and it worked really well. The parents were super happy. There's nothing like weird, and you know, it's like, this is oat milk and fruit. And, like, everyone recovered that. There's nothing. So everyone who was offered smoothie mode was supposed to be okay. We have access to multiple cargo barks. So if we want to wrap things to them and distribute infrastructure, we can talk about that for next year. I don't know, it's like we have at least two, well, maybe even three.
Yeah.
Let's
definitely talk about that next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any comments?
Yeah. Maybe just feedback to Matt. I guess to piggyback again on what stations, I was at 66 in the Greenway. For whatever reason, I'm on the phone in this
area. They're trying to get
some bags or something, I think. I think a pretty constrained location, and there were a lot of people, which is so fun. I think finding some like valet racks or something similar would be really helpful. Because I usually volunteer at the station, I never visited another station in Emeryville. I don't know what the space is like at other spots and how people are like arranging their bikes when they want to go chit chat, but having like a valet rack for people to put their bikes on would be really helpful. And I know there are local advocacy and education groups that would probably be happy to lend those out.
One feedback on that. We had a nice wall next to the path that we kind of direct people to. And I also have multiple flat pack plywood bike packs, which we could use.
Something to help people put their bikes away.
You should visit other stations.
I'm volunteering.
Take 5 minutes and go. We don't blame you. Yeah.
I make a non-member comment on that. We used to have that station at 65th where there is abundant space for people to arrange their bikes. And I think it got moved because the bike counter is at 66th. But maybe now that the counter is not so new, it might make sense to move it to 65th. Because there's a bike, 65th is a bike, got a bike lane too. So it was kind of a good location. Just something to think about for next year.
Yeah. Okay.
Other highlights or things you want to share? One other thing I thought about, we had a guy at Stanford and Horton come up and was like, oh, do you want your passport? He's like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, man, you get priors if you go to all these stations. He went all the way to work, then came back and was like, I just turned down a quest. And I'm sorry, I'm going to go do all that. And then he went to all the different stations again. He was like, you know, all wiped out, and came back with this completed car. Just because of how cool. So another highlight.
In the spirit of continuing the joy, that is my coworker. I started like a big Teams chat about this event like the week before, and he was on it, of course, and I knew he bikes a lot. And then there was like 100 messages when I got back to work about people going back and forth. About this guy who got to work, put all his stuff down, like skipped a meeting so that he could. It brings a lot of joy to the community. I think people were like inspired, like, hey, maybe I should participate in bike to work day.
Kudos for that, again, for the password idea. People love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all.
And that means we can move to our planning updates. What order?
Evening, Alyssa Chung, Assistant Planner for the City of Emeryville. Updates on the Element Program LL will be going to City Council tomorrow for the second reading. That's all Navarra's work, to be clear. It's not going to increase the intensity of any housing development, but it removes procedural barriers to make it easier to build denser housing in our neighborhoods. Rivian is continuing to make progress. A lot of their interior TIs are done, their tenant improvements. I just did a site visit to talk through the landscaping, so we should be getting more information about the trees that were approved there and the landscaping strip. They will also be starting work on the mural pretty shortly. They need to get a noise waiver for that. They have to do some of the work at night using a projector, but once that is done, they should be underway. Booth Barn also still working on their tenant improvements, still trucking along. And then on the 19th, City Council approved a loan commitment for 4300 San Pablo. It's our intergenerational housing project at the former Rec Department building. There'll be 68 intergenerational units, 100% affordable. So it's very exciting for us, and we'll go for tax credits hopefully this summer.
Questions? Public comments? Member comments? Thank you. And the last of our information comments, public works update, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it from here. Real quick, I only have two items. So they're approaching the end of the road for the Sustainable Streetscapes project on Hollis. So there's the finishing up some bus stop lighting as well as some landscape planting and a couple of other punch list items to finish up the Hollis Streets and Streetscapes. And then the other update is that we have some new back feedback numbers coming on. So they'll be starting next month. There's five terms that we're ending. And so I believe we have three new members and two coming back, returning. That's it for my updates.
The open question, please. Public comment. My question is just thinking about when is the next July 1? I know it's often looking with books.
Yeah, it's because of the July holiday, it is the 13th.
Oh, perfect. We have the motion, right? At some point.
Okay. Yeah. Great. I totally forgot that. So, and I will be out of town on the 6th, so it's good that it is on the 15th.
You probably voted to...
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. okay, so if there's no more information items, we can talk about future agenda items that anyone would like to propose or prioritize.
Do we need or expect Sutter to come back with anything before any of their other phases of work that they were describing? I think they mentioned something about coming back after.
They were sure after the results of the EIR.
Yeah. Do we expect anything before that?
I can't speak to that. I can certainly.
I can provide a little information on that. So it's going to go through this first round of review. It's going to go to the remaining committee. So Commission on Aging, Parks and Rec, will go to City Council and Planning Commission for study sessions. They may take that information. There may be revisions to the project. And if things do change substantially, there is a chance that it will come back to you. We want to make sure you're apprised of any changes to the project.
My question would be, what would trigger that? Is there some threshold of amount of changes? Or is it at the discretion of, I guess, Planning Commission?
I don't know that I could speak to that. I don't believe there's any like quantifiable threshold at which we would take it back, but right, if something changes that would, to, for example, the intensity of the project, that would create different like transportation, traffic, bike, ped issues or non-issues that you did not previously have a chance to consider, that's kind of the threshold.
If there's no other future agenda items, we can go on to announcements and member comments. If folks who might not be coming back to DPAC and want to see anything, or okay. My announcement is that I will be leading the Save Bike Party on Friday the 12th. And it should be it should be a really good ride. Maybe 1,000 people there. So, yeah.
Would it be in Emeryville?
It will not enter Emeryville at all. We'll start and then in Oakland.
Probably goes on Greenway. I can't participate anymore, but it sounds cool.
Yeah. It could. I'd be there. Think about it. Any other member comments, announcements? Nothing else, we can adjourn.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
I should have known.
There was a window where I could have done it. And then we went to it. Then you go off and like, I mean, you should know by now.
I want to pass on the chair duties.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do it. Somebody will.
It's not a lot, but it does need to be done by someone who's attentive on the cares and
We'll see about that.
I'm gonna grab these. Help you with this one too? Sure.